This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Calling the Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs to order at this time, and we just appreciate that. We want to welcome everyone. We want to greet all of our internet listeners. We'd urge everybody, of course, to have your cell phones off. We don't want any disruptions. Lobbyists, make sure you're wearing your badges for if when you come to testify. Testifiers need to sign in at the guest at the register in the back. Page, all the handouts will be distributed by the pages, and all testimony and questions will be addressed through the chair. At this time, we're going to ask the secretary to take the roll call of 5 members of this committee compared to 13 for the House.
Senator Foster?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Stalzer?
Here.
Sutton?
Aye.
Boland?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you so much. At this time, we're going to have, we have had no minutes from a previous meeting, so we're going to dispense with that. Again, this is a new meeting, so we're going to have our pages come forward and on the internet tell us who you are, what school you attend, and perhaps what your plans are for the future.
My name is Brock Kilber. I'm from Rapsay, South Dakota. I go to Rapsay Christian School, and my goal is to become a math teacher and learn at Northern State University.
And just a curiosity question, are you a junior, senior there?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior. Wonderful. Well, thanks for your help today. Any other introductions, any personal privileges, any of those things? Seeing none, we're going to dispense with that. At this time, therefore, we're going to begin the formal bill hearings. And at this time, we're going to have a hearing on Senate Bill 33. This is a bill to authorize the Department of the Military to construct a storage building located in Brown County and to make an appropriation, therefore, and declare an emergency. This bill is coming to us at the request of the Committee on from the Committee on Appropriations at the request of the Department of the Military. This time, I'm going to ask for proponent testimony, testimony in favor of Senate Bill 33. Please come forward if you are, if you would like this bill to be passed. You're a proponent of this particular bill.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm retired Colonel Steve Harding. I'm the Deputy Secretary for the South Dakota Department of the Military and a registered public lobbyist. Also with me this afternoon from Rapid City is Lieutenant Colonel Steve Sinsma, and he is the battalion commander for the unit that will be, with your approval, will be constructing the building and the equipment that will go in it, and he'll be available for technical questions that he knows more about the rocket systems than I do.
Very good.
Senate Bill 33 is an agency bill that will grant $125,000 of general funds and $375,000 of federal fund expenditure authority for the construction of a steel building for use by the South Dakota National Guard. The building is to be built at the motor vehicle storage compound on the west side of the Aberdeen Municipal Airport. The design and construction is currently planned for fiscal year 2021. If you look at the handout that you have, you will see the multiple launch rocket system. Each vehicle weighs about 55,000 pounds. The proposed building will cover 9 of those rocket launchers, as well as the standard integrated command post system, tracked armored command posts, and other specialized equipment. It'll have a minimum of 9 overhead garage-style bays with overhead doors. And the facility costs will include drainage improvements and utility infrastructure to the building to provide lighting. However, it will not include the heating and water or sewer. The structure will be steel-framed with a painted steel exterior. Additional concrete reinforcement will be provided to accommodate the heavy track vehicles stored at this site. We are estimating to build a 60 by 200 feet, 250-foot facility, approximately 15,000 square feet. The interior storage will protect the equipment from the outside elements. The tracked vehicle stored at this site were equipment has specialized computer components, cables, hydraulics, and global positioning equipment, which are extremely costly to replace. The storage of the equipment inside of the building will provide additional greater security for these weapon systems as well. I would like to restate that the 75% of the dollars needed for construction of the building are federal funds, and this is included in the governor's budget recommendation. That concludes my testimony, Mr. Chairman, and we will stand by for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Harding. Other proponents for this particular piece of legislation, Senate Bill 33. Anyone else coming to testify in favor? Seeing none, we're going to ask for opponents. Do we have anyone in the room? No one's contacted me to testify by phone or anything like that. Do we have anyone in the room who would like to testify against the passage of this bill? You're an opponent. Seeing none, we will waive rebuttal and we'll open it up at this time for questions. This is not a time yet for action, but we're going to ask for questions from the committee to Mr. Harding, the gentleman was seated next to him. Any questions about this building? Any questions from the committee? Since I've gave everybody the opportunity first, I'm going to ask a couple of questions to the gentleman. I missed your name with the who's serving our country wearing the uniform of the United States.
Mr. Chairman, Lieutenant Colonel Steve Simmonsma.
Thank you, Mr. Simmonsma, Lieutenant Colonel. What's the expected life of this building if everything is just generally? How long do you think this facility will last if it's kept in good order?
Well, that would be difficult to really answer, Mr. Chairman, but, 25 to 50 years, I see no reason why, with everything else that we do within the military, we take good care of our equipment and our facilities.
Okay, thank you very much. And one other question. Are there other structures in this area that are also under the control, authority, and usage of the United States military?
Mr. Chairman, yes, we do. We have one facility there that it was converted into a cold storage, large enough to really house one vehicle, one launcher within it. This additional building would allow us to put 9 launchers plus our 3 1068s, which are our command post vehicles, all under one roof.
Okay, and then one last question. Could you give us tell the committee the expected beginning date and conclusion date for the construction if all would go in a normal fashion?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have an exact date. Sometime would be around that March time frame. Once the ground would thaw, that would give us opportunity to get construction started. Right now, projected for 21, so that March of 21.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'll ask one more time. Any other questions from members of the committee? Seeing none, I'll this time ask for a motion on this particular piece of legislation. Senate Bill 33, I'll read it again. It's a bill to authorize the Department of the Military to construct a storage building located in Brown County to make an appropriation therefore and to declare an emergency.
Make a motion to...
Do pass or 41st day? Okay, we have a motion. Do pass on Senate Bill 33. Do I hear a second? It's been moved by Senator Sutton, seconded by Senator Smith, to do pass on Senate Bill 33. Any discussion on your motion? Senator Sutton.
Thank you for your testimony. I do believe that this is going to be of good use in support of the military, and I recommend a do pass.
Thank you very much. Any other discussion? Hearing none, we're going to take the vote on the motion is do pass on Senate Bill 33 to take this to the floor. At this time, we're going to ask the secretary to call the roll on Senate Bill 33.
Senator Foster?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Excused.
Sutton?
Aye.
Boland?
Aye.
Four yeas, one excused.
And we have now... he didn't get back in time. Oh, okay. I have the gavel has not fallen, though. We'll have Senator... Senator... All right, so we have a unanimous vote with all members present. Five yea, zero nay on Senate Bill 33. It will be sent to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Our second bill...
Senator Bowen, do you want to do consent calendar?
No, I do not. On this... On the with the expenditure of money, I would rather...
It'd
take two-thirds. Thank you. There's an emergency clause on this bill because we want to, the idea behind this, I assume, is to let's get this moving as quickly as we can, and with the emergency clause, we can move things along. All right, our next bill on our hearing list today is Senate Bill 35, a bill to revise the appropriation for the state's Veterans Cemetery and to declare an emergency. And again, this has been introduced by the Committee on Appropriations at the request of the Department of Veterans Affairs. Senate Bill 35, do we have proponents? Again, these are the individuals who are going to speak in favor of the bill, and they want it to pass. They want it to move forward. So we have just identify yourself and tell us why you think Senate Bill 35 should pass.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, sir.
Aaron Pollard, I'm the Deputy Secretary for the Department of Veterans Affairs. Essentially, all Senate Bill 35 would do is amend the appropriation that was set forth in Senate Bill 91 that enabled us to submit the pre-application for the State Veterans Cemetery and gave an appropriation for that cemetery. So essentially, once we submitted the pre-application and all the grant documentation came back and the VA gave us an amount that we would be eligible for, are eligible to receive for the cemetery, that's the amount that's shown here. So we're just trying to amend that so that way we have the authority to use the funds that the VA is going to give us for construction of the cemetery.
Okay. Thank you very much. Other proponents, Senate Bill 35. Other proponents. Thank you for your testimony.
Chairman Bowen, committee members, Ken Tunison from the South Dakota Veterans Council. We support this, and like we support the Veterans Cemetery, we're 100% in support of this bill, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tunison. Anyone else with proponent testimony speaking in favor of the passage of Senate Bill 35? Seeing none, do we have any opponents? Anybody here to oppose Senate Bill 35? Seeing none, we're going to waive rebuttal, and we're going to now ask for questions as to Senate Bill 35. Any questions? I'm going to give my other four colleagues on the committee opportunity. I have one or two, so if the primary speaker could come up. I just always like to want to make absolutely clear what we're going to do here. It's Mr. Pollard, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Pollard, now I just want to make sure, absolutely sure here. We passed, right now you're authorized for $6 million, but the VA is saying that they are authorizing the state of South Dakota for the cemetery of $6,904,794. And what this bill is going to do is increase the authorization because the VA says that it's going to need more money. Would that be an accurate comment?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Originally, with how they do it, they kind of give you an estimate of what they think the cemetery is going to cost. You go through the whole process, the negotiations back and forth, and then they give you a final grant amount of what the grant is going to be that you'll get for the cemetery. And this was the number that they zeroed in on.
Okay. That answers my question. Thank you.
Yep.
At this time, we're going to look for I'm looking for committee action on Senate Bill 35. Committee action. Don't be bashful. I can't make a motion. I'm just chair. I cannot by the rules. Senator Stalzer.
I move do pass.
Okay, there's been a do pass motion on Senate Bill 35. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been seconded by Senator Sutton. We have a do pass motion on the floor. Any comments, Senator Stalzer, on your motion of do pass?
Well, having been the primary sponsor of Senate Bill 91 that's being modified, the $6 million at that time was our best estimate. We now have actual numbers, and so the bill is just being modified to reflect the actual cost. And again, this is a federal grant to pay for this.
Thank you very much. Any other comments? Senate Bill 35. Hearing none, we're going to move to the vote on Senate Bill 35, and the Secretary will call the roll. If you're in favor of the passage of Senate Bill 35, you're going to vote aye. If you are opposed, you're going to vote nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Foster?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Bolin?
Aye.
Five yeas, no nays.
At this time, I'm going to ask of some advice from Senator Stalzer, who's been involved in this. Would it be your desire to put this on consent or to talk about this on the floor? I'm just going to ask for your advice.
Why don't we talk about it on the floor?
Okay.
Then we'll take it.
Okay, and you'll take it. Very good.
All right.
That we now have the passage of Senate Bill 35. The gavel has fallen, and that bill will go to the floor, but it will not go on consent. That brings us to our last bill of the day, and this is going to be Senate Bill 124, and this is an act to revise provisions regarding group pheasant hunts for disabled veterans. It's introduced by Senator Lake, and I see that he's coming to the witness stand, and so we're going to have him provide us proponent testimony for Senate Bill 124. Senator Lake, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. First of all, there will, I don't know how you want to handle this, there will be an amendment to this, and the amendments that you have in front of them, I thought 124B would take care of it, so there will be an amendment, and there'll be a one-word amendment to the amendment.
Okay, I would like the bill amended in its to the form that you would like it, so that we don't have to, so that our testimony will be on the bill as you would like it presented. And so would you like us at this time to move the amendment?
I would.
Okay.
And there will be an amendment to the amendment. 124B was supposed to fix it, but they didn't. So I guess what the one, I would like you to move 124A.
Okay. At the request of the sponsor, there's been a request to move an amendment to Senate Bill 124, and that amendment is Senate Bill 124A. Do I hear a motion to comply with the sponsor's desire? It's been moved by Senator Smith to amend the bill. It's been seconded by Senator Stalzer. Any discussion? Hearing none. Well, does this a voice vote? All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nay. Hearing none, we will. The bill has been therefore amended. Now, is there another amendment that needs to be placed on this bill?
Yes.
Okay.
After the amendment A on the present bill that you did on line 20.
Okay.
On line 20, the word administration. That's not the one I'm looking at, but on the line 20, the word administration should be stricken.
I'm not okay. That's on the. That's okay. Okay. All right. So,
I think you're looking at the original 124. You need to go to 124A.
24A. Okay. And is your desire to amend the bill in that fashion?
Yes.
Okay. Do I hear a motion for this amendment?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Senator Sutton, seconded by Senator Stalzer, that the bill be amended with, correct me if I'm wrong, Amendment 124B.
No.
124.
Just change 124A, use the, and just from 124A, strike administration from line 20 on the amended version.
Okay. Okay, we're gonna. That will be our amendment. That we're gonna strike out the word administration on line 20. Do we have a motion to accomplish what this what the sponsor of this bill would like for the, with this amendment. Is there a motion? Did we already make a motion? Do we have a motion to?
We had a motion to make the amendment from Senator Sutton, seconded by Senator Sponsor. Just a
minute. This is the set. This would be the set. Okay. So let's hear. Let's have a vote then. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. The bill is therefore amended. Thereby amended. All right. So just make sure we have clarification. Senator Lake, is the bill now in the form that you desire?
It is.
It is. Okay. Let's hear your testimony in favor of Senate Bill 124 as amended.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. I apologize for the confusion. Just a few last second changes. And most of the changes was just for clarification to get the wording correctly. Last year, you guys passed, the entire legislative body passed HB 1201, which authorized these group pheasant hunts for disabled veterans and for Purple Heart veterans. And that was an incredibly good bill. It was a lot of work that went together with the body, with Game Fish and Park, and a lot of the veterans group. What this bill does, it just makes that bill just a little bit better. What it does, it makes two changes. The first change that it does is just moves the eligibility requirements for the licensing statute to the statute that these group hunts are in. The way it was done last year, to be eligible for those, it referred to the licensing part of the statute, which was 41-6-10.2. Well, that caused a little bit of confusion, so all we're doing is moving it out of that statute and may put it in the statute, the same statute that authorizes these group hunts. The eligibility will be in the same statute and change just a little bit. The second reason, it just changes the eligibility a little, just a little, and that's where we get to it. Most of these group hunts, and there's not very many of them, most of them are for disabled veterans, ones that are in wheelchairs. There's a couple there. The one in Gettysburg is a little bit different. That is for Purple Heart veterans only. And so anybody that is in one of these hunts, and there's probably about 30 or 40 applications per year. I think there's somebody else that's going to testify after me and give you the specifics on the hunt. And they just pick five of them out of a hat. They come nationwide, and that's what this is set up for. What this would do, so, and that wouldn't change. This hunt would still only be for Purple Heart veterans. What this change would do is just in case. It's a just in case thing. Sometimes there's national VFW people that come along with them, might be a national officer that comes along to help them out or joins them. And this would offer the ability to allow one of those that had less than a 40% disability rating to participate along with the other five in that hunt. It's just that if somebody's coming from a long way away, they're helping out with it, helping out with the other ones in it, and the 40% disability allotment that is in there now, most of them, the officers or whoever comes along, that's enough of a disability that they can't participate. They're not being able to participate in this particular hunt. They would be able to in another one where it's probably a wheelchair or in a vehicle type one. These are more of kind of a real hunt that they put out there for these five-day hunts. So that would be the first reason for doing this. The second reason is to set up these hunts, it takes a lot of effort, and it probably takes 20 or 30 volunteers, and it's not a postponable event. So they do all the work to set these hunts up, and just in case there's inclement weather and people have to, like say, two or three of them can't participate because of inclement weather, they would be able to use this, make it a little bit, give them a little more flexibility to allow other veterans, Purple Heart veterans or disabled veterans, at that 20% level that would be able to participate at the last moment, rather than restricting it just to the 40% disabled that wouldn't probably be able to participate anyways if it was inclement weather. So that's pretty much That's pretty much the gist of the bill. It's just to improve a little bit on a very good bill that we passed last year, and I will let some of the experts get a little bit more into the meat of it behind me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Senator Lake. Other proponents, other individuals who are going to speak in favor of this particular bill? Just identify yourself, sir, and give us your reasons why you want this bill passed.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Marty Pennock. I'm the office manager for the Disabled American Veterans in Sioux Falls. I represent nearly 5,000 veterans in this organization, and we fully support this bill, primarily because on a daily basis, I deal with veterans and their veterans' issues. They've gone forward for our nation, served in wartime, many of them, and what this does is it provides opportunity. Some of the details in this bill further creates more opportunity for more of our members, more of our veterans, to enjoy life. Pending questions, sir?
We'll take the questions later. We're just going to take testimony right now, but please stay in the room, and we're going to obviously let opponents speak. But just we'll have some questions in a little bit. Other proponents, other people who want to speak in favor of this particular bill?
Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you for allowing me to come and talk to you today. My name is Isaac Full. I am currently the junior vice commander of the Gettysburg Post 8530 VFW up in Gettysburg. And I was sent here today to speak on behalf of my post. I am also the current sitting chair lead of the Purple Heart Veterans Hunt that we host in Gettysburg. So, with that, a little background on the Purple Heart Veterans Hunt. In 2004, gentleman Pat McGrath from Falkton, a VFW comrade that is now passed on, had a vision of getting his fellow veterans of South Dakota and outside of South Dakota to hunt pheasants. So he originated the first Purple Heart recipient pheasant hunt in the state. As Pat's health started to fail him, that was passed onto the Gettysburg Post. We stepped up in 2016, took over hunt operations for that hunt, and continued the hunt 3 years. This year will be our fourth year hosting that hunt. In our post, as the national VFW-sponsored event, we have put together a steering committee, which I had already stated that I am the chair. We coordinate with our national staff on promotion of this hunt and run an ad in our national VFW magazine. We also promote this hunt by hosting an annual statewide raffle ticket sale, in which we tend to raffle a gun or other significant item at our local Veterans Day ceremony. Currently, this is an all-inclusive hunt. The national organization takes care of the flight tickets from the home of origin of five selected veterans. Our VF chapter and state VFW chapters help foot the bill for the rest of the way, including rooming, transportation, food for 5 days, and we schedule and put together opportunity for these veterans to hunt around Gettysburg. So after the five veterans are selected, we typically, as Senator Lake said, we usually have 30 to 40 applicants a year. Five of those names are selected as primaries. We tend to select two as alternates to come and partake in our hunt, as the veterans that tend to get this information are of an older generation, typically Vietnam era veterans. So the purpose of the two alternates is to, if somebody happens to fall to the wayside and not be able to participate in the hunt, we have somebody on back burner. In 2009, as Senator Lake already stated, we had a win in the state for allowing this free pheasant license for 40% disabled VA rating veterans to come and participate for free. Today, as I stated, not only representing the great veterans of our state, but veterans from all over the nation that can come and take part in our outdoor paradise in South Dakota. Through experience with the VA, our post veterans and state's veterans, we are asking that you reconsider dropping that 40% to 20%, and in the long run, if possible, a real home run would be to make that a 10% rating, as veterans happen to rehabilitate themselves with a rating. If it's not a service connected rating, that rating can fluctuate, and there's potential where some of those national members that come to our hunt maybe don't meet that 20% rating anymore. They make a 10% rating or less. So with that, I support Senator Lake's 20% overall would for the state would be a 10% from our VFW chapter. That's all I have for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Other proponents, other people can attest and testify in favor of Senate Bill 124 as amended.
Chairman Volin, members of the committee, the South Dakota Vet Council supports this change and the bill, along with the 72,000 that we're representing of the veterans in the state of South Dakota and the commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart, which has over 300 Purple Heart recipients in the state of South Dakota. We support this bill, sir. Any questions?
Thank you very much. We'll give the opponents their opportunity first. Thank you again, Mr. Tennyson. All right, other proponents, other people who might speak in favor of the bill. Seeing none, do we have any opponents? Any opponents to Senate Bill 124 as amended? Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal and we'll open it up now to questions from the committee. Any questions? Senator Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Lake. I appreciate you bringing this forward. I guess I'd just like to understand a little bit deeper on this. Is there any licensing that is required to participate in these efforts? Is there anything required?
Actually, I'm going to turn that over to an expert if it's all right with the chair.
Okay. Absolutely. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is John Katilnik. I'm the senior staff attorney for Game, Fish, and Parks. Thank you, Senator Lake. I don't know if I qualify as an expert, but I can certainly try to answer your question. Senator Smith, I believe your question was whether there's a license involved with this program, and the answer is no. So how it works is that these nonprofit organizations come to our department. They give us a list of the names and of individuals so that we can at least run them through our database, make sure they don't have any thing that would prohibit them from hunting to begin with, whether it be hunting violations from out of state, things of that nature. We give this permit back to that nonprofit organization, and they work with their local conservation officers to give them transport tags for the birds if they want to take those birds back to wherever they came from. But yes, otherwise there's no actual physical license that goes along with this program.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Smith. Do you have a question, Senator?
Yes.
Senator Sutton, go ahead.
Can you give me some history? How many have you been put on since it started?
Through the chair.
Go ahead.
Senator Sun, I don't have the information with me right in front of me. I can tell you that the short time that I've been doing this, there's only probably about three nonprofit organizations in the state that do a hunt like this, and I think as you heard the gentleman testify earlier, they're fairly small. So we're talking about a handful, maybe 24 individuals a year that are impacted by these types of hunts.
Okay. Follow up, please.
Please.
Is there a limit on how many birds they can get?
That's my question.
Yes, three.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I had asked that question because, as you know, that there's a bill running through the legislature right now for the habitat stamp, and it's moved from the Senate to the House. And the question came to me, is it going to be required for these type of hunts? And it absolutely not, and I think that you've answered that by saying that there's no paperwork licensing required. So, yeah, thank you. I just wanted to make sure that this wasn't being caught up in previous legislation.
Okay, thank you very much. Other questions? Any other committee members? I have a couple. Since I've seen, I have a couple myself. So, is it accurate to say that the what's the maximum number of people that have participated, to the best of your knowledge, participated in one of these hunts at any one time?
I can't answer. Like I said, there's only about three of them, and the other two are more for like wheelchair bound
okay.
hunters. The one in Gettysburg that is more for Purple Heart veterans, I think the maximum is five. That's all they've ever done is just five per year, and then with the addition of any officers that would become from the from like national officers or something like that. So that would be one or two, but they've internally put that maximum at five.
Okay, thank you. And if, for the gentleman from Game Fishing Park, so. Does Game Fishing Park have any objection to the change that this bill is bringing forward? Senate Bill 124 is amended?
Mr. Chair, no.
Okay. That's the only questions I have. Thank you.
One more question.
All right. This is the time to ask.
Yeah. The young man from Gettysburg, I know we're – no. thank you. You know, he made the suggestion to go from 20% to 10%, and I don't know. I would like that addressed now that we talk about it now. So I assume that the post in Gettysburg has gone on record in support of 10%. Is that correct?
Absolutely, sir.
So I would just like some conversation about that.
Okay. I guess this is not a part of the bill itself, but I'm not going to rule that question out of order. But this is not a part of the bill. I would just say this as a way of oftentimes testimony that goes beyond the scope of the bill is not helpful. I'll just leave it at that. But Ms. Senator Lake, the gentleman from Game Fish and Parks. Do you have any comments on his question?
The original request was for 20%. That's why we put it at 20%. Then when the suggestion came up about 10%, I'm not opposed to that at all, and it would be a friendly amendment. I guess my first thought process is I didn't know that would cause more difficulty getting it through the process or not. I don't know whether it would or not. That would be, but okay. I have no problem with it being 20% or 10%. Either way, it's fine with me.
Okay. I'll just take the chairman's liberty here. My initial reaction is let's keep the focus on 20%. I think the lower that number goes, the greater the difficulty becomes in moving the bill forward. And I think this bill should pass. I would like to see it pass. I'd like to see it. But let's focus just on the 20% and see how that works. And then if there's other adjustments that need to be made in the future, we can. But let's focus just on the 20%. Thank you. Thank you very much for the question on that issue. All right, other questions on a number of other subjects here, on this particular subject, I should say. Senate Bill 124 is amended. Hearing none, I'm looking for a motion on Senate Bill 124 as amended.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Senator Smith.
I move to pass on 124 as amended.
To pass, and we have the good senator from District 27, Senator Foster, with the seconding. Comments on your motion, Senator Smith?
No, I have to tell you, as someone who never served in the military, I'm in awe of people that have, and especially for those who have been wounded by war. And wounds could come in a physical or, you know, whatever sense. And so I'm in awe of this, and I think it's great that people are looking out for the people long after they've served. And thank you for doing the work that you're doing.
Other comments by any other committee members? Senator Sutton.
I recommend a due pass on this. My father was received the...
Purple Heart.
Purple Heart. Lost my thought there. And he would have been 100 years old this year. So in memory of all those who served our country and received the Purple Heart, I do recommend a due pass.
Thank you. And I'll just make this little brief comment. My father served in World War II, and he would have been he passed on in 2015, and he would have been 100 years old this year as well. So our fathers were just about the same age. Any other comments? Hearing none, we're going to call for the vote on Senate Bill 124 as amended. As amended, Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Foster?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Boland?
Aye.
5 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 124, as amended, will go to the floor with a due pass motion. I think with the but I will resist putting this on consent as well. I think there's enough of a change here and enough of discussion that we need to talk about this on the floor at least briefly. And I'll have Senator Lake. You need to be prepared to carry this bill on the floor. And before we leave, I just want to make we've got Senator Stalzer going to carry Senate Bill 35 on the floor. Senator Lake will carry Senate Bill 124. Is there a volunteer for Senate Bill 33, the Brown County Storage Building? You're on appropriations, and you can – okay, we'll have our vice chair, Senator Sutton, carry that one. The other announcement I have is that the next meeting of this committee will be after session on 2 weeks from today on the 25th. The 25th is 2 weeks from today, and by the – I have, as of right now, we have Senate Bill 156 and Senate Resolution 701, and any other bill that comes up from the House that we may have to deal with as well. So, yes?
Mr. Chair, first approval.
Please, go right ahead.
Well, as long as Senator Sutton and Senator Boland have shared their family history, I find it ironic that my father, who served in World War II, would be 100 this year also.
Wow. That's wonderful. I mean, we're sorry these people have passed on, but that's amazing how we're all kind of pretty much of the same generation, fathers all born in 1920. So I think our business is concluded. At this time, I'm looking for a motion to adjourn. The committee has been moved.
Second.
Seconded by Senator Sutton. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. This meeting is adjourned.